This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
And good morning, everybody. We got the full show today from 8 to 11. You can give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Of course, a big weekend, a big game against the Green Bay Packers. We got the bye week over with, so now they get back into football and try to finish out the final nine games of the season and see where they stand. You know, of course, a lot of positive news, and of course, we'll get into the positive news as far as getting into headlines. Well, it looks like Russell Wilson is going to be back because they took him off the injured reserve list, and he looks like he's going to be able to play despite that finger injury that should have kept him out maybe as much as 8 weeks, because it turned out to be worse than anybody even said, but he worked so hard in being able to come back in the rehab. Then, of course, Dewan Estridge, he's back. He's going to be coming off the concussion from week one, and so he's coming off the injured list, but they won't have Chris Carson. Chris Carson's still banged up with that the problem that he has with his neck, so he's not coming off IR. He's staying on IR, not going to be able to play tomorrow for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers actually got back in the building today, and it looks like he's all set to return as a starter after missing 1 week with COVID-19. David Bakhtiari, the left tackle, is not going to be able to play, so that keeps that offensive line a little bit off, because you know they don't have their best left tackle being on the field. So those things are all out there. And so that seems to be the case. In New Orleans, Alvin Kamara not going to be able to play. He's got some, I think, knee issues and all that stuff. And so now they're down Kamara, their best pass catcher, who has leads the team in receptions. And they have very little at the wide receiver position. And as you know, of course, they did not have any success in trying to be able to, you know, get Odell Beckham Jr., because Beckham Jr. ended up going to the Rams, so that didn't work out that well. So the Saints right now could be in some difficult times, particularly now knowing they have to go, you know, with Trevor Siemian as a starting quarterback, and then maybe mix in a little bit of Taysom Hill, and so they ended up losing last week. We'll see where they stand this week. So that's a little bit shaky right now. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How you doing on this fine Saturday morning?
Good. How are you?
All right. Speaking of shaky, I mean, you know, you watched that game last week with Atlanta with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first half, those guys dropped six balls in crucial times. Those wide receivers.
Yeah, they're terrible.
And the tight end. Was that?
And they're terrible. It's the worst receiving group in football.
Oh, they dropped them in crucial times. I mean, talk about not helping somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is awful. Now, losing Alvin Kamara is a big deal. Like, he leads the team in receptions. The only good bright spot about it, you got Mark Ingram there. That's
yeah.
The only bright spot.
Yeah.
You got Mark Ingram to help you out. Yeah, that's the only good thing. By the Odell Beckham situation, do you think? I don't think it was more of a fit. I think it's more just location for him.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that? I mean, because if you look at what the Rams got on the receiving core,
yeah,
on the receiving side, Woods, Cooper Kupp, they got the young kid. I mean, do they really need him?
No, but I think what they're doing, they're going for it this year. I mean, they don't care. They don't care about the future. They just care about this year. I mean, they traded for Von Miller. They're not sure if he's going to be able to play this week. He missed last week's game. And then, of course, now they get Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, the thought was they told him, hey, we're going to even use more four receiver sets, so you'll get a chance to do so much more. How that works, I don't know. But, I mean, he's not going to be any more than the third option. And that may not satisfy him, because it didn't – I mean, even he was a second option in Cleveland, and it didn't work out. But we'll see. But they're going for it.
Yeah. I mean, they practically give up all their draft picks just to go for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They putting it all eggs in one basket right there. The Von Miller situation. If he, you know, I don't know how healthy he is as far as that's concerned for him to come back, and it would be a nice addition.
Yeah.
If you get him out instead of Aaron Donald, if he's healthy, you've got to get him healthy. Now, that loss they took last week to Tennessee, it showed a lot of vulnerability on their defensive side of the ball.
Right.
And it showed that if you can get to Matt Stafford with rushing four, you can stabilize him. But you have to get to him rushing four.
Yeah.
Now, who in the NFC can do that?
I mean, there's a bunch of teams. I mean, it's like, with certainly the Rams. I mean, I think what Vaughn had like 4.5, 5.5 sacks and all that stuff. He played well with Denver, and he was like the only remaining linebacker after losing three starters, and that took away a lot that he can do, because now you can double team him if you need to, or you can take him out of the game or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
But
I'm talking about the Rams offensive line.
Oh, the Rams offensive line. Yeah, there's some issues there. Yeah, I think that Andrew Whitworth starting to show his age. You can see that the center Brian Allen. I mean, he was hurt and is hurt this week. I don't know if he's going to be able to play. I don't know how good Rob Haberstein is. I mean, he's still kind of pretty average. But I think the line's a little bit overrated.
Oh yeah, they're gonna employ the, I guess, four wide receiver set, one back in the backfield, and go zero.
Yeah.
Zero running backs in the back, tied in, and four wide receivers, and they're just gonna throw the ball over the field at you.
They throw the ball like 36 times a game, where Seattle I think throws it like 27.5.
Yeah, they do throw a lot. Well, their running game is not that good, Mr. Clinton.
No, it isn't.
There. No, ever since they lost Cam Akers.
Yeah.
Sony Michel is not the guy.
No.
He's not the guy. I mean, to get a balanced running attack, they don't have a balanced running attack there. It's all predicated on throwing the ball.
Yeah, because they got Sony Michel and Daryl Henderson.
Yeah. And they're not getting that production that you think they should. No.
But they're still 7-2.
Which is still good.
Yeah.
Which is still good. All you got to do is hold serve and get to the playoffs.
Right.
That's it. But remember, we talk about the Rams. Arizona's still right there.
Right. 8-1.
That could be an interesting finishing to the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Now you look at the playoff picture right now with the Saints losing their quarterback, no wide receivers. That could be a problem for them. As far as trying to hold on to that last spot in the playoff picture right now.
Oh, I
agree. I think Atlanta's the last one right now. Mm-hmm. They're the last one. They're going to Dallas. What happened to Dallas last weekend?
I have no idea. That was just unbelievable that here's a Denver team that has so many injuries, so many problems and all that stuff, and they fall behind 36-0 in the fourth quarter.
And he got slapped. And what about the Buffalo Bills last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, it just shows right now. It's like even Baltimore losing on Thursday night. It's like you can't count on any team being good week in and week out.
No, you can't. Right now is the war of attrition as far as concerning the NFL.
Yeah.
If you're going in with some parts that are missing that are key parts to your team, it can definitely show up.
Uh-huh.
And it can be a problem. It can definitely be. Now, let's look at some of these games coming up. Cleveland going to New England. That's a pretty intriguing
it
game
is.
Right there. It's great.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, it's like what you wonder about is that Nick Chubb's on COVID-19, and so because of that, they have no running backs. Kareem Hunt's on injured reserve. So they don't have any running backs, or right tackle Jack Conklin's out for the season. So they've got some issues. Now they don't have Odell Beckham Jr. The replacement's an unknown, a rookie. And so it's like, their offense is not going to be as good.
And you know something, too, also, you look on the opposite side, New England's defense has been very good.
Very good, yeah.
They've been very good. They took a Carolina team and called it on, which was at home, but they did. But anyway, they're starting to look good. And going to New England, that could be a problem for Cleveland as far as that's concerned. You look at Minnesota's in trouble.
Oh, yeah, big trouble.
They're That almost dies in the cold. Did they get enough guys to dress up to play?
You start to wonder because now there are like six or seven. I think what in the last 7 days or so they've had six, seven guys that have had to go on COVID-19. Six or seven guys.
Wow, that's the guard went into. He got admitted to the hospital, didn't he?
Dakota Dozier, yeah, he's in the hospital.
Yeah, he ended up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Their starting center is in COVID-19. I mean, they're in bad shape.
There he is. What do you think about Carolina bringing Cam Newton back? Is that just indicative of Sam Darnold?
Darnold's now going to be out for a month. And so I guess mm-hmm. you look at it, it's like, who else is on the street? What I can't believe is they paid him $4.5 million. How do you that?
I know. They opened up the bank for Cam Newton for the last, like, seven games?
Yeah.
Of the season? Seven, eight games?
Eight games,
They paid a lot of money for
mm-hmm.
him.
Agreed.
Well, next week he's probably going to get to start next week.
Yeah,
for the Cardinals,
no doubt.
For the Panthers,
mm-hmm.
Now they're playing the Cardinals this week. That's going to be a pretty intriguing game there, as far as that.
It's not intriguing because Carolina's not that good.
No, Mr. Drake, I'll take that back. Arizona's going to beat Carolina.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, I agree. We both agree on that. That's not going to be intriguing at all.
No.
The thing about Carolina, their defense has played pretty good, but I think with the problems they have on the offensive side of the ball, mm-hmm. it exposes your defense to the other team having more opportunity to exploit your defense.
Right.
So that's not going to work out as far as that's concerned. What about Kansas City? What do you make of that, Mr. Clayton, right now, their offense?
I mean, right now they got problems on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes is making too many mistakes with the interceptions. They don't have their starting running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He may be back this week or next week. So that's taken something away from them. So it's been a disappointment. But again, it's like, that's the thing that's so strange this year. I mean, everybody's a disappointment. I mean, there's no great team.
You're right about that. There's a lot of disappointment in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the team opposite playing Kansas City, the Raiders, mm-hmm. having the situation with the coach,
right.
having a couple of players out already,
mm-hmm.
that had to cut two first-round picks.
Right.
You know, I mean, is this, and Kansas City just don't look themselves anymore, Mr. Clayton. They don't look like the guys that you feared on the opposite side of that ball. They don't run the ball like they used to. Patrick Mahomes is, I think, force feeding the ball out,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little too much. You know, that's just causing the issues. Defenses have understand that their offensive intricacies a little more.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting better defending now.
And basically, they just can't be cover two defense. I mean, because everybody's playing cover two against them, and it's like they just can't beat it.
For no reason at all. They just cannot beat. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we'll find out when I think the Raiders might have a good chance to get them, Mr. Clayton.
Very well could.
They might have. Yeah. I mean, Spagnuolo's defense players did play a little better last week.
Mm-hmm.
They did play a little better. They held the team down, but we'll find out. What do you think about the Steelers, Mr. Clayton, right quick?
I think they're getting better. I mean, you know, the offensive line's not that good. Now, of course, they won't have Chase Claiborne for the game this week. He's going to be out. And so that's going to hurt mm-hmm. them because, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster is on the injured reserve list. So they're going to be real thin pass catching. I think that they're good trying to get better running the football. And I think Ben Roethlisberger's in a little bit of a good stretch right now. And defensively, they're real good. We'll see how they can do now with the problems that they have at wide receiver.
Yeah, they got to cure that issue over there. I think another team that might have a good game tomorrow is the Colts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing Jacksonville, of course. I think they're going to have a good game because that'll probably help them out as far as, you know, you think the Colts could probably – I don't think they catch Tennessee in that division.
No, they won't.
They won't catch Tennessee in that division. Tennessee is playing some pretty good football right now.
Yeah, because I mean, Tennessee has them by, what, 2.5 and 3 games, and has beaten them twice.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's going to be a problem for the Colts. Are they a disappointment to you this year, the Colts?
What's that again?
Is the Colts a disappointment to you?
No, I think he's good.
No?
No, again, he's in a quarterback transition. He's had some injuries on the offensive line. You know, the, I mean, they opened the season playing five games against teams that won 10 games last year, and so they just got behind the eight ball. And of course, Carson Wentz, he ends up coming there, and he gets the injury, and he doesn't have a single practice until the first week of the regular season.
Yeah, that's true too. They had some issues like that. But
yeah.
Hey, you know, they're bounced back. They're playing pretty tough football
they
right
are.
Now.
Hey, got a run.
All right, Mr. Clayton. Talk to you next Saturday, Mike.
Sure. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, John. How are you doing?
Real good.
Good. Yeah, hey, just to call out to Irish Minky from last week, the conversation you had with him was just so so thoughtful, and I just concur with it entirely. You're just a great guy, John. It's great talking to you. You nurture your audience, not only the listeners, but the callers in, and you know, and then you're a dedicated husband to your wife, and those are just such great things, John.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. So, John, the Raiders released another first rounder, Damon Arnett. And, yeah, the whole 2020 class, you have to conclude, it's been botched by the Raiders. I mean, you know, they had Henry Ruggs out, Damon Arnett out, third round. They didn't have a second rounder. They went to the third round, Lynn Bowden. Before he even had a snap, they shipped him out to Miami. Then they chose Brian Edwards right after that. He plays.
He's okay, yeah. He's...
And then there's Tanner Muse, which, of course, the Seahawks fans know now. There's the fourth rounder, John Simpson. He plays left guard. Then there's Amik Robertson, who hasn't really been able to find a spot on the team, but he's still on the team. So, I mean, of those seven players, four are gone, John. I mean, that's not good.
No.
Definitely not good. I mean, that's not – I mean, the previous year was much better. And when they talked about foundational players, at least that's what Mayock was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think they hit the mark on that. But with the 2020 draft, not so much.
Yeah, of course, I mean, Cleveland Farrell in the last – I mean, he's been terrible.
He hasn't. It was a reach. I think people need to conclude that now, even though he had shown some signs of improvement. But with all the people that Gus Bradley's brought in and the rotation and the defensive line, it's really been difficult for him to distinguish himself at all.
Well, he doesn't play. I mean, he's not even a starter.
Well, yeah. It was a healthy scratch for, I think, two games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand. It's not been good. But with the Arnett situation, I mean, who the heck gets a rental car and smashes four rental cars in a month?
Mm-hmm.
Who does that?
Not many.
I mean, you got to really question a person's wherewithal to, you know, it's just you don't do that stuff. And the interesting thing, I think, for the dynamic of the team presently is that, I think Gruden would have showed more forbearance, but with Mayock, as soon as that social media stuff came out about him brandishing weapons and saying he's going to kill someone, they let him go. And good for them for doing that. That's
agreed.
Not acceptable. Just totally.
Don't you have to agree? I have never seen a team that has had more internal problems than the Raiders right now.
This is
about as bad as I've ever seen.
Thank you. It's hard for fans, at least for me, to endure it. I mean, it's like, what the heck is going on out there? What Barry once said.
Yeah, you got a cornerback out there, you know, threatening to kill people. You got a wide receiver that drives 156 miles an hour, kills a woman who's 23 years old in a car accident. You've got John Gruden, you know, and again, what'd you think of his lawsuit? Where now he's suing Roger Goodell in the National Football League, but it's like, the truth will come out. Well, the truth is all in the emails, and you have 650,000 emails, which he sent a whole bunch of them, and they were all bad, nasty, and mean.
They were, and there's no acceptable it's just a bad behavior all the way around on that. However, the 650,000 emails, they were selectively applied to John Gruden, which impacted the Raiders in the middle of the season. Okay, why? That's the question. And I think that we need to explore that, because there are still 40 women out there who haven't gotten justice either because of the hostile work environment created by the Washington football team.
Right.
Why is the NFL being so selective? And that's the problem. And you know, John Gruden, his reputation has been ruined.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these were confidential messages. Not that what he said was acceptable, because it wasn't. So, I mean, you called it about when it happened. He said, you know, he's probably going to sue the NFL. Well,
oh, yeah.
There's no surprise there. Getting to the game this weekend, it's prime time for the Raiders and the Chiefs. You know, it's usually always decided by less than 3 points. They're mm-hmm. always close games. What do you think is going to happen there, John? I heard John, you and JB talk a little bit about it.
I think right now there's going to be the big adjustment at wide receiver, because, you know, I don't know if, you know, DeSean Jackson has enough time to learn the offense and what he can do, but certainly there's issues at the receiver position. I'm not sold in their offensive line. I think they've done a horrible job with that O-line. And particularly, you know, now they got, you know, they have the injuries that they have. You know, they had the three starters that are out. I mean, it's like nobody even brings up Richie Incognito anymore. I mean, he hasn't even been active for a single game. It's bad.
Well, it's interesting, because the whole idea was there after the bye week. He was probably going to see start to surface a week after the bye week.
Yeah.
That was what the plan was. I guess the reporters and the beat reporters that do the press conferences with the coach, they didn't even ask him about Richie Incognito.
No.
And so I think that's interesting. Sometimes what they don't say or what they don't ask is also as important as what they do ask.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's known throughout that market that he's probably not going to be back.
No.
And you know what? It's okay. He's you know, he's a veteran. They like his presence, but you know, you have to have your value when you're on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't done that. But John Simpson has filled in admirably. He's no Richie Incognito, but he's done well. But you know, and I think that they've gelled better in the last 3 or 4 games on the offensive line than they did at first. At first, I agree with you. It did not work well, but it's working better now. And I think what's more concerning for the Chiefs, for instance, is that they can't seem to beat a cover two, or for that matter, a cover three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Gus Bradley runs.
Right.
And I'm just amazed. Maybe there's this thing about this Super Bowl hangover is true, because boy, oh boy, oh boy,
yeah.
The Chiefs just do not look the same.
Do not look good. They do not look good. I mean, again, there's so many teams right now, you can say the same thing. I mean, you look at all the AFC, and there's like 11 teams with winning records, but it's like, who right now is playing strong enough that you're saying, because, you know, like, that was a question at the beginning of the week. So who's going to be in the Super Bowl? And it's like, I have no idea.
Right.
No idea.
It's free-for-all.
Yeah.
Free-for-all. I mean, I was thinking Buffalo. That's what I was thinking.
And they lose to Jacksonville, for God's sake.
Oh, my gosh, John. I just cannot believe it. I had to watch the replay, you know. And I just was like, wow.
I know.
What the heck happened to Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned it with JB, Dallas. I mean, they just totally laid an egg. What was going on with that?
What about Baltimore on Thursday night?
Oh, it's just like, what is going on out there, John?
I know. Hey, Jim, got to run.
Okay, John. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Ed in Denver. Hey, Ed. Oh, so let's take a break. Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call. It's the John Clayton Show. Let's go to Ed in Denver.
Morning, John.
Morning, Ed. How are you?
To you and Pat.
Thank you.
Doing well. There's so much to talk about, it's hard to know where to start.
Yeah, agreed. But
let's start with the taunting calls need to go away, and talk about how ridiculous that taunting call against the former Seahawk Cassius Marsh was.
Mm-hmm. That was awful. I mean, again, you know, he's just celebrating a play as opposed to trying to get in the face of opponents and create tension and, you know, just like I just think it's one of the worst rules that they've added in many, many years. It is as bad as the the defensive pass interference thing that they added a couple years ago. They just keep overdoing it, and the officials, all they're going to do, particularly from the league office, is back it up.
Yeah, and you no doubt saw that not only did he get the penalty, which I want to add that, he was staring down his former teammate,
right
since he was on Pittsburgh earlier in the year, so that was probably more like a tongue-in-cheek kind of action than it was anything malignant at all, of course. But he's also being fined. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you always get a fine for taunting.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's like... I mean, the 20-some, 25, 28 taunting calls, and we're pretty much getting like 8 a week, which is just ridiculous. It's just, it's like, and then the bad part is it's 15 yards. I mean, you're making a dance celebration, you know, the same as like a personal foul knocking down a quarterback. It's just terrible.
Yeah, well, not only that, of course, John, I know you're from Pittsburgh and all that kind of thing, but... myself as a diehard Seahawks fan and going back to the 70s, a diehard Raiders fan,
yeah.
I have a heavy dislike for the Steelers, as you might imagine. And the officials essentially gave that game to the Steelers with that call. I mean, there's no question about it. Wouldn't you agree?
They pretty much did, yeah. And I know the Bears, it was pretty much a one-sided calls as far as officiating all through the game, which is not good. But, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, no, it was like the Seahawks Super Bowl all over again.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see the whole game, but I heard the announcers talking about how it was so one-sided. Let's move to the fact that the Seahawks can never execute a screen pass well, or rarely, and it certainly would help take the pressure off Russell Wilson if they could do it well. And go on to the fact that maybe they should take a page out of the Dolphins playbook and throw a screen pass to one of the guards. Just kidding. But
I know.
Did you see that play?
Yeah. It was interesting. But again, it's like it's not legal, so it doesn't necessarily mean anything. Can't do it. So it's like.
Yeah. No. Of course. But wait till the film session on Monday. Those guys are going to be howling, and they already were howling before that.
But again, it's like, aren't you amazed at there's no team right now that you can count on to be good? None.
Yeah, no. Along that line, it definitely leads me to the game between Dallas and Denver. And, of course, before that game, Michael Irvin going on and on about how Dallas was the best team in the NFL. Not biased or anything there. But, I mean, I knew going into that game that Dallas is definitely not the best team in the NFL. And, I mean, I don't really think they're that good. I'm very biased on that because they're like my second most disliked team behind the Steelers. I was celebrating big time when I saw Denver handed it to them.
36-0 in the fourth quarter. It was 36-0 in the fourth quarter.
Can you believe that?
No. Oh, I mean,
if someone would have told you that that was going to be the score in the fourth quarter, you would have been telling them that they needed to see their psychiatrist.
I mean, here's a team that lost their entire linebacking core, Denver. They have one missing part on the defensive line, two missing cornerbacks because Patrick Surtain ended up getting hurt during the game with a knee injury, and he couldn't finish. And then, you know, they don't have Bryce Callahan. And so it's like, what the heck happened in that game? You know, and here's Dallas supposedly all healthy and all that stuff, and they looked terrible.
And, of course, the reason was that the Broncos were very motivated by the fact that the Cowboys were showing them no respect on the defense. You know, they were going for it on fourth down with the idea that they didn't care if they made it or not because they felt like the Denver offense wasn't going to do anything against them, and then they subsequently ran all over them, as you saw.
Right. Yeah, so it's like
I also don't think that Arizona is as good as everyone is touting them to be. I mean, they're clearly good, but as you say, there is no great team, and I really think that Arizona is going to fall mightily before it's all over here.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, their schedule isn't that hard, so that could keep propping them up. But they are 8-1, and they have beaten the Rams down in L.A., and then we'll see how they come into Seattle next week and how they do here. Still don't know for sure if Kyler Murray's going to play. Still questionable as far as DeAndre Hopkins. But, yeah, there's definitely some questions right now with Arizona. But, again, you can't question 8-1. 8-1's 8-1.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we'll see. And I'm so hoping that somehow the Seahawks can pull off beating Green Bay this weekend, which would set up a huge game next week, which I'll be going to regardless.
Right. You're coming back into town for that one?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, absolutely. I missed the Jacksonville game, but I'll be definitely there for the Cardinals game.
Yeah, it's like missing a Jacksonville game was no big deal.
Yeah, I know. But I emotionally sold my tickets there after they lost the game before that. But,
right.
I would like to say something about Raider Jim for just a moment here.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Ruggs, what a terrible story. But I just want to dig up a story from the 70s of the Raider player that I'm sure you remember, Warren Wells.
Right,
remember
him
and
Warren Wells, sure.
Strife that he had. And, of course, when he came back from playing or from his jail sentence, essentially, I believe that was a domestic deal of some sort, which would have been punished much greater in today's laws and so forth. But he was never the same player after that, which is too bad.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, it's like, I don't think I've ever seen a team that has had more problems in 1 year than the Raiders. I mean, they lose their coach, even though he's suing the league for, you know, years, particularly when he was at ESPN, of sending nasty emails. I mean, just horrible emails. And, of course, you know, once they became public, he should have been fired. Then they had four people in the front office that were fired for problems with the accounting numbers and some of the numbers that they have in economics and all that stuff. Then you have the two first-round picks that had to be let go. I mean, how about Arnett, who ends up, you know, being let go for showing a video that went viral that he was, you know, touting guns and threatening to kill people?
Yeah, no, that's all terrible. I mean, Gruden, by suing the NFL, which, by the way, I was so disappointed to hear that story because over the years I like Gruden a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
Know all of this underlying things that he was doing, but by suing the NFL, he's only digging his grave deeper and adding salt to the wound, I would say, because it seems unconscionable that he could ever have a case against the NFL. But
yeah, didn't you love the stories as soon as it came out with all the emails and all the bad emails? He said, "Well, you just wait. The truth will come out on this." What truth can come out?
Yeah,
we saw the emails. I mean, the emails were bad. I mean, listen, it's like I venture to say, I know I never have. I venture to say you never have. I would imagine that most people who listen and call in this show have never had the sending out emails as bad as that, where it's like bad comments about women, bad comments about so many different things. It's like you use email for whatever you do, for social reasons and business reasons and all that stuff. Why do you take it that level and then send out as many nasty things as John Gruden sent out? There's nothing to hide.
No, I mean, absolutely. It's like it's only going to come back to be used against you from a legal standpoint. And I know all too well, I just never do anything like that. I would never make any comments like he did, of course. But, any comments, good, bad, or indifferent, I would never put in a text, never put in an email. You know, absolutely not. None of that goes into print, John.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's like it's incredible, but it's like that's what it is, and you can see how bad it is, and that it's like now they're paying the price, and who knows what next is going to happen with the Raiders.
Exactly. And speaking of people digging things deeper than ever, Aaron Rodgers has kind of just made it look what was bad, he's only made worse.
Yeah. And what I wonder about is that how upset is he that they didn't and they botched the ability to get Odell Beckham Jr. because they only offered him the minimum salary, and apparently their communication to Odell Beckham Jr. and his agent wasn't very good, and so he ends up going to the Rams, and they haven't done anything to replace Robert Tonyan. I mean, he's the tight end who blew out his knee.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're not making the right decisions. It's hard to believe that Odell Beckham is the right decision for any team, given his history, but we'll see. I really doubt that things are going to work out well for him with the Rams, but again, we'll see. He's just a player who has a lot of baggage with him.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. I agree with that, but he's really talented, and if they go four receivers, which they're talking about, I mean, they're going to be really hard to be able to, cover all four receivers because, Van Jefferson's pretty good, and you know how good they are with Cooper Kupp. I mean, he's putting up some of the best numbers in NFL history. Hey, Ed, you take care, and good to have you back for the Arizona game.
Yeah, indeed. Looking forward to it, John.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421, ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421, ESPN. Let's go to Joel in Seattle. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Joel. Sorry. Hey, John.
I'm John. You're Joel.
Yeah.
Don't forget your name now.
Hey, I want to jump back to Gruden for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'm sure his NFL career is done, but is there any chance he could be back at the college level somehow or anywhere involved in football going forward?
I think so. I mean, am I mistaken? But wasn't there some story this past week where he's under some consideration for LSU? Because Ed Ogeron's going to be stepping down at the end of the season. And I don't know if it was a matter that they were thinking about flying him in and interviewing him. But I would have to think that, I think there is a chance because he's a good coach. I mean, certainly he's not a good front office guy because, again, look at the decisions he made in personnel and the problems there. And certainly in the NFL, he's burned all bridges with the emails and everything else. But I think that, and one thing about John Gruden, which I have always liked, and again, I have nothing on the emails that I liked. I thought they were terrible. I thought he deserved being fired. I think all those things were there. But, one of the things that he did is that he would go around as the head coach of the Raiders and go to college teams that had, different type of offenses, whether it's air raid or, different type of things, and study that and try to learn that. And so, I hope from his standpoint that LSU is interested and other colleges are interested.
All right. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And so it's like, because that's the one thing that you look at is that, he is a good coach. And, say what you want. It's like I am totally upset with what he did through the years. Because, again, it's like I didn't realize he had this because, again, having worked with him, having been with him so many times, I've always liked him. In fact, I go back with him to when he was back as a assistant with the Green Bay Packers. Because I still remember talking to him back then. And then, of course, as he rose up in Philadelphia and he did all these different things, because I still remember when he was in Philadelphia and he was always complaining about how the, being in the office and the office had all these different type of how cold it was at different times and, different, bugs or mouses and things of that nature. I still remember that. But it's like, I've always liked him and I always kind of root for him, and it's like I know that I think it's impossible for him to get back in the National Football League because of the emails and everything else, but I could see him getting into college because the one thing is he can lead men. I mean, he can certainly do the best he can with his offensive play calling and all that stuff, so we'll see if that does happen. But, yeah, again, how true that story is about the interest of LSU. But, again, when you have, you know, so many college openings and, you know, a name like John Gruden, I mean, it's like, yeah, there could be a possibility that he could end up, you know, getting back. And I think, you know, he could be a good fit in LSU. Because, again, Ed Ogeron, as great of a person as he is, you know, it hasn't worked out for whatever crazy reason. Because, what, 2 years ago, they were fantastic. They were really good. And then the next thing you know, they come back and they just have laid an egg in the last couple of years. Why that happens, I don't know. But whatever it is, it cost him his head coaching job. And so now, you know, he's going to step down at the end of the year. And, you know, I would imagine that he's probably going to go, if he doesn't get another head coaching job or something like that, he'll end up going on one of the networks, you know, to broadcast, whether it's going to be SEC Network or ESPN or anything like that. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, Ed's a good guy. You know, John, despite the fact that he had the emails, I still like as a person and all that stuff. But, again, I can never, ever endorse what he was emailing out and how bad it was. And, you know, the fact that he's saying, well, you know, it's like you'll find out the truth. Well, we know the truth. The truth is you're sending out bad emails. For whatever reason, I mean, you can blame the Washington football team. You can blame, you know, certainly the New York Times. You can blame, you know, ESPN. You can blame whoever it is. Once the emails came out, he deserved to get fired. All right, taking your phone calls, Dave Grosby joining us at 10:30. We're here till 11, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.